what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BesideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. Joining me, as usual, is the wonderful and the charming and beguiling and perfectly lovely Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com. Hi, Ronnie.
Hello, Ben. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Ronnie.
Lovely to be here.
Even lovelier to have you here. As always, you can find us on social media, primarily facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. Super fun Facebook page. Tons of links and great things like that. But also, if you go to watchwhatcrappens.com, all the links to Twitter and Instagram and all that other fun stuff. Of course, you can always support us by going to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens to get access to ringtones. Ronnie just put up a bunch of funny ones. And a monthly hangout. And most importantly, a bonus episode. You get a full bonus episode every week.
And also, the hangout is this Thursday night.
Oh, actually, can we move?
You forgot.
I know. Wait, can we move it to next Thursday night? My brother's in town.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll give us more time to get it together. So it takes so much organization.
Yeah, it's going to be next week. I've been very high maintenance through Ronnie. I've been making him, like, wait.
It's
delaying,
okay.
Delaying recordings.
I like difficult people.
Difficult men.
I still tweet at Matt Whitfield. also, we're trying to get Matty Whitfield on the show, damn it. We need to get his schedule proper. Hopefully, he'll be on this week or next.
Get that schedule proper.
Matty.
Actually, and something that we would like to do is we do want to do another live show. We did not forget about it. We're starting to look into venues in the Los Angeles area. So if you live in the LA area and you have an idea of a venue that we could get for cheap or for free that could fit, you know, between 30 and 50 people, let us know. Email us, watchwhatcrappens@gmail.com, or you can just post on our Facebook page. We'd love to know, because we would love to do a live show, and we'll give more details as that comes together.
Okay, cool. I can't wait. I'm texting Matt right now. I'm saying, hey, Pickle, try and let me know. so hopefully he'll come. That'll be fun.
Pickle. So I think that's really all the important stuff that we have to talk about at the top of the show, right? And I think at this point, we can get into the most important stuff, which is talking about Settlers of Catan, right?
Yes, totally. I want to buy some sheep.
Yeah, buy some sheep. Actually, you know what's really funny, and this could be a segue into Melbourne, is that I had some friends over. We played this game called Dead of Winter last night, and I played with two Australians. And I felt like I was on The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Dead of Winter. I'm the kind of person that likes one board game and then just wants to play that all the time. You guys have, like, you'll whip out five board games on game.
Well,
too many rules. Just give me something to...
Ronnie, play. I'm going to teach you Dead of Winter, because I think after Settlers of Catan, it's, like, my favorite board game. And it's this thing, it's, like, this cooperative game where you are playing... you are, like, trying to stave off a zombie apocalypse. It's sort of like a Walking Dead kind of board game. And I don't even like zombies.
Oh, it's like Walking Dead? So do they have parts where you just sit there and talk about your feelings and shit? Or,
basically,
like, just, like, give a really sad look while your face is covered in mud?
That's basically what happens. And so it's really fun because it goes on for so long. Like, last night's game took 3 hours. But you're all working together for the most part. And I think that you would be so funny to play with.
How did this? How is this going to segue into Melbourne?
Because they're Australians. I was playing with Australians. Actually, you know what would be great?
I thought it was a zombie part. The face is falling off.
Actually, what would be great is because when you play your little characters, they're all you have all these little characters. It'd be great to get a version of the game where all the characters are Real Housewives and they're all working together to stave off a zombie apocalypse.
Hell yeah.
A whole bunch
or
stay, of,
keep their faces from falling off.
Yeah, a whole bunch
I've
of Janets.
I've always wondered that about those Walking Dead shows. Like, they decompose, but only a little.
Yeah, only to a point.
And then they stop.
And, yeah. That's what zombies do. So speaking of zombies, why don't we go to Melbourne and talk about a favorite...
Real Housewives of Melbourne? Sounds great. That's a great start for me, Ben, because I just watched it. It's fresh in my brain.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So my accent's going to be even better than usual, Ben.
Oh, it sounds good. Sounds good. Unfortunately, my Australian friends from last night were from Adelaide. They weren't from Melbourne, so I couldn't
get... losers.
I couldn't get...
You know, the fashion in Sydney's not even as good as it is in Melbourne. I can imagine what it's like in Adelaide. Look like a bunch of cow farmers.
I would know more about the fashion in Sydney as compared to Melbourne, but every time I ask that woman a question, that other Elvira Mistress of the Dark keeps on interrupting me. So sorry.
All right, so we just start from the beginning.
Yes.
My favorite part of this, for some reason, is Lydia. Lydia is one of the most boring people in the world, but for whatever reason, she just entertains the hell out of me because she just seems so stupid, and I love how she talks. And this week opened with scenes from last week when she was giving her speech, which was not a speech.
Yeah.
I guess it's a monologue. You can't call it a speech, but
well, this was a yeah. This
she's like my son died when I had him. And then I had a different son. And so this son has two souls. And I just thought, and you probably want to fuck both of them. Because you remember that? You remember that was her son last year, right? That she took to that store, like that lingerie store or whatever. What was that? Is that probably, in my head?
Probably. But you know that her son right now is in major trouble. Did you read about this? Did you read about
what
this,
happened
Ronnie?
To him?
Well, her son is like an internet troll. He was posting, he posted like pictures of someone, like a woman online that he wasn't supposed to. Like, I'm not sure if it was a revenge porn situation, but either way, he wound up in court and might be going to jail.
Oh, God, you said porn because I got scared for a second. I'm taking pictures of people all the time, like in the Starbucks line, who look stupid, and I post them on my Instagram.
No, I'll find the article. It came up a few times. People posted it. But you keep talking about Lydia and how she... well, here's the thing with Lydia. Okay, so at the top, this happened last season and it's happening again this season, where she doesn't really have any thoughts on anything. But then if someone says, "Oh, you know what, Lydia, you should be mad at so-and-so. So-and-so said that." She's like, "Oh," and then she decides, "I'm going to be mad at them." So now she's decided that she's going to be mad at Gamble.
And just like last year, again, she has no idea why she's even mad and the story's wrong. The best thing about Melbourne is that they don't even... They're so stupid that they don't pay attention to the... It's like they can't understand their own accents because they don't even understand what the fight is. Yeah. It's like a really bad game of telephone. Maybe it's because Janet starts most of it and she's just
probably
forgetting. Like, I don't know.
But
they don't even know what they're fighting about. She's not even fighting about the real things. What she's mad about didn't even happen.
Yeah. Well, because she's been told that Gamble was like making fun of her during her quote-unquote speech.
Who was she on the phone with in this episode when they showed Lydia on the phone? She's like, "Hello there, Dolly.
Jackie,
here's what I want
to
know.
Jackie.
The other night at the dinner, what was your opinion? Because I heard that Gina and Gamble were having a laugh at me, and they were making fun of me during my dead son monologue. Who would do that? Who would do that?" It's like, that's not what happened.
Oh, you're awful. What? How awful. How awful for a Gamble.
What
an awful thing to do, to laugh during my dead son story.
What an awful woman.
Wait, so the story with Lydia's son, Lorenzo Chiavello, is that he is in court accused of stalking and posting nude photos of a woman on social media without permission, including one of her bottom in a G-string. How awful!
How awful!
Thank you, Robbie McDonald, for posting that on our page.
So he stalked her in real life and then posted pictures of her in a thong on the internet, or did he internet stalk her?
I'm not totally sure.
Because if he didn't in real life, I'm proud of him for leaving the house, because that's a lot of work stalking somebody.
He also allegedly did telephone, send electronic messages to you, or otherwise contact that person between certain dates in November, which led to a charge of stalking.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Yeah. If you're rich and you're cute, why do you need to stalk somebody?
Well, he's not that cute anymore. Unfortunately, he gained a lot of weight. Not to fat shame him, but he used to be a lot cuter before he gained
the weight. I'm even prouder of him for going outside and stalking someone when he's overweight. It's hard being overweight and doing stuff. I know. I couldn't stalk anybody. I'm too lazy to even Facebook stalk somebody now. I just look at their picture. I'm like, they were at the beach. Who cares? Move on.
Chiavello's barrister asked for the stalking and other charges to be adjourned to May 8th for a plea, with alleged driving offenses also to be mentioned on that day. Oh, well, sounds like someone's dealing with fact, not fiction.
Not friction.
Somebody better call your partner. Make sure they know that they weren't stalking someone else. Don't want that partner to get jealous.
He probably wasn't even stalking her. He probably just got in trouble for talking to her. And then the Real Housewives were like, he was stalking someone? Oh, tell the news. He was stalking someone.
How awful. What an awful thing to see. Everyone is posting nude photos.
Everybody in the town is talking about stalking.
Yeah, Lydia's not happy until... A, she can be a catty bitch with somebody, which yeah. I guess we're going to see. We saw a little bit of it this week, but it looks like it's going to be coming out more because she acts like she's all nice and peaceful, but she's yeah. so horrible and catty.
Yeah.
So it looks like that's going to be coming out again soon. And she's not happy unless she can be pissed at Gina,
mm-hmm.
which Gina does give them enough reasons yeah. without them having to make stuff up. I mean,
yeah, she does. Gina definitely does.
The way they
does.
Work on this. Show you can be offended at anything they say. I mean, they get offended at every little thing, like Pettifleur especially. She's yeah. like, I don't know what she was talking about. Like, what are you talking know. About? She said hello.
Everyone is talking over me. But you know, the thing is with Gina, I mean, we love Gina, but she is not totally innocent here. She does say some very condescending things from time to time. She sneaks in her jabs when she can. She's not.
She doesn't sneak them in. She just like plows yeah. them with them.
Oh, Pettifleur. Hey, Pettifleur, if you want to say something, speak up. Can't understand you through your accent.
God, that was awesome. Okay, let's go through it before we
yeah.
waste
yeah.
all the end things.
Yeah.
Before we waste it. Because that was amazing. So they go to some sports thing. What was it?
Yeah, they didn't...
Sports.
I didn't understand.
They're always watching sports things on this show.
It was something between Sydney and like maybe the Melbourne, some team. This I assume it was rugby. I don't know. We didn't actually see what the sport was, right?
Crockett? Croquet?
All okay. I know is that...
No, that's not a sport. That's a thing in the back. Lydia... That's when they were playing in the backyard. So many sporty things on this show. There was croquet and then some other horse thing.
Well, all I know is that Lydia showed up in the Sydney colors, and they're like, oh, are you supporting Sydney? She's like, no, I'm supporting Melbourne, but this is just my fashion. I'm like, you idiot. You wore the other team's colors. Like,
I like the color palette more.
Yeah. Well, see, Gamble was supporting Sydney, but she's from Sydney. She's like, this is my city. But, like, Lydia... was just being dumb.
Lydia, sorry, I had him confused.
Yeah, no, Lydia was just being dumb. She was just wearing the wrong colors.
And then when she wouldn't drink, Pettifleur was like, why, you're pregnant? And she's like, no, thank you very much. No, that's not Lydia.
No, no, no. Lydia, no, Petty, I mean, Gamble makes a stupid joke. She's like,
oh, I'm getting these women confused. How do you get them confused? They're so distinctive.
Gamble was like, oh, are you pregnant? She's like, no, are you? I'm like, ugh, Lydia, stop it. We know one likes Gamble, but don't make us like her. Don't make us take her side, please.
Yeah. She's like, no, I'm not pregnant. I just told you a story about my dead baby and my child with two souls. And now you're asking me if I'm pregnant. That's really inconsiderate of you.
And I love how, like, every time it's like they cut to Gamble in an interview and she just mumbles away her story. She's like, well, I guess I was a little... You're like, what?
I was a little drunk and so on, you know. So, you know, I don't know.
You're like, what? What, Campbell?
Sometimes I'm silly. And sometimes I say things that I shouldn't say because I'm silly, Wolfie.
Wolfie.
I don't mean it.
I miss my Wolfie. I guess I was a bad girl for saying those words. Look at this.
I missed Wolfie.
Wolfie plays. I want to watch a Wolfie sport. Wolf pup sport.
Why did I write Gamble's shoulders? Oh, so I've noticed that Gamble does this thing. Someone calls her a marionette later in the not a marionette, a ventriloquist dummy. Which her, I mean, I'm sorry, that's not nice to say, but mostly just because of all the injections. I mean, she kind of does, but also she does this like. Thing like a marionette where she moves her shoulder. She kind of does a really slow version of a shimmy while she talks. Mm-hmm. Like she's rolling her shoulders while she talks. And now I can't stop. Once I notice it, I can't stop singing. Oh. I got a little dancing that while she's talking about moving. So they all go to this art show.
I mean, the sports. Oh, you were talking about in Sydney.
Yeah, wait, did we now, finish that? Oh, yeah, wait, but now, was there some other fight? The fights on the show are incredibly stupid. So I can't keep up.
So the women went to Sydney, but while they went to Sydney, we had a quick scene that made me crack up, where Jackie goes to Cheeker's house, and Cheeker had set up like a little tea in the garden. And so when Jackie shows up, she was like, well, it's so nice out. I thought, let's just do it. And I was like, oh, dare to dream, Chica. Setting up tea in the backyard. Let's just do it. I thought, you know what? It's sunny outside. Let's have tea outside for once. Let's just be wild and do it.
Let's get crazy. I'm not even going to wear a scarf out there.
Yeah. You know what? Let's put the table out there amongst the flowers. I know tables are supposed to be for indoors, but let's put one outdoors. I mean, let's just do it. Let's be crazy. Crazy Cheeker.
And I love that Jackie, she kind of has that demeanor with people. Like she's talking, like she's going to an old folks home to just donate her time, you know? She's always like,
hello there, darling. How are you today? Oh, great, great. You're doing all right there, Mum.
How was your food? You like that food? Is it good? Okay. Yeah.
You want me to set up for you, doll? I know you can do it yourself, darling, but that's what I'm here for.
So
chop,
good.
Chop, sweetie. Let's keep the energy up. All right, let's be happy. Your child still loves you just because he hasn't been here in 20 years. He pays the bill, doesn't he, darling? Yay!
She's always talking like decrepit old ladies. I love
it. That's hilarious. That is such a funny observation.
It's so true.
And how are you today? How are you? Oh, good. Good.
Like
good to see
you. Children or old people.
I know. That is so funny.
I'm like, don't poop yourself. And then, but yeah, Chica's like, let's get real bad and talk about some girl gossip.
Let's talk about hens night. I had such a crazy hens night. Like, I went and I stripped down. I stripped down to my sweater. I stripped down to my sweater. And then there were a bunch of guys there for box night. And they were like, oh, hey, why don't you strip down further? I was like, no, I can't. And then I spoke to my mother-in-law, Brucey's mother. And she was like, oh, those bucks were my son's.
I had the craziest hen night. When I went out there, I thought, you know what? I'm not even going to wear stockings. I'm just going to wear roll-up knee highs. I mean, it was crazy. I only had granny panties covering my vajay. I didn't even have the extra layer of stockings. I got crazy on hen's night, darling.
Darling, I was going to wear some pearls for my hen's night. I'm like, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wear some hoops. It's just crazy hen's night.
I use sunscreen as a moisturizer on hen's night.
On hen's night, you know what I did? I had like a shot of whiskey. Isn't that crazy? Crazy hen's night.
I asked for cider water with it because that's what I like to finish it with, but I asked for tap water.
I'm such a bad girl on hen's night. I could have gotten cancer or something there.
On my hen's night, I had a soup and a salad.
What was her thing on hen's night? She's like, on my hen's night, I was... She's watching some dirty show, and then I realized at the table next to us were boys from the neighbors.
I got knackered.
What was she talking about? She saw somebody at a restaurant or something.
There was like a bachelor party next to her bachelorette party, and she got down to her bra, and she didn't invite her future mother-in-law, but then the next day her mother-in-law called. It's like, I heard you had a crazy hens night. And it turns out that like she was related to the bachelor party guys.
That is pretty good, actually. Cheeker getting down to her bra. I mean, that's like a normal person doing a donkey show.
Yeah. And then Jackie was like, oh, Cheeker has a cheeky side. Shine, shine, shine.
Shine, shine, shine. Oh, everybody's got a cheeky side. You know what I love? Strippers. Because I'm young. Cheeker, let's get some strippers. Wouldn't that be fun, Mum?
Let's get some strippers, but let's get that stripper, because that stripper looks sad. That stripper's had a bit of sadness in his life.
That stripper's father didn't let him play with Barbies. Now he's worried about it when it's totally a normal thing growing up. I know him. Call him in here.
Oh, Cheeker.
Yeah, well, at least it's male strippers this time.
Yeah, I'm excited for that next week. So, okay, so then they did...
waxed twink.
So then they did go... The rest of the women did go to Sydney... And they went to an art show because Gumball, her dad, is an art and she knows art.
My father lives on a beach in Palm Beach. I know about art.
And then, like, well, before they even got the art show, Petit Fleur, like, obviously did some research about the artist. And she was like, well, one thing that people may not know about this artist is that he has a painting in the White House, yeah? And he has a painting in the White House, and he also has a painting in three museums. So, like, you know, he's...
His Yelp reviews are so amazing, you guys.
And then Gina's like, oh, did you go to Google? Did you, you know, you research him on Google? And she's like, no, I did not do that. It's like, you know, petty flu, that's okay. It's
you
not
obviously did.
Like, it's okay. It's like, okay, sure. Like, petty flu, it's okay to be, like, going to an exhibition and ahead of time to do some research and then to, like, tell people what you learned. It's really okay. That's, no one's going to think badly about you.
But
for
petty
that.
Flu just wants to fight with anybody and nobody's giving it to her, she's which, like, I find hilarious. Everyone's just ignoring her. She tries to start a fight, like, 3 times an episode.
I know.
It's like, I don't appreciate being talked to like that by these women because they don't understand the culture and they don't understand that I have made it myself and I understand art. It's like,
I am going to switch the bitch, and as it turns out, I know who this artist is very well because I talk about it with my son when I am caressing him in the bubble bath.
The other day, I was massaging my son's butt in the bubble bath, and as his head hung over the bathtub, I said, you know, you look like this painting from this artist I'm going to see in Sydney.
Whose work I know much about. I'm very intimate. I have an intimate knowledge of his work, much as I have an intimate knowledge of your bottom.
Oh, petty floor. And she's like, you know, this going to Sydney. The thing about Sydney is they don't know how to dress like the people in Melbourne. The fashion is behind. And at first I thought, bitch, please, you're wearing like some crinkled ass like curtain dress. But then they got to Sydney and I was like, oh, holy flowered button-down shirts. And they were right. I don't know what they're fucking in Sydney. In Sydney, they don't care about fashion. They fuck more there. They're like, I don't care. I don't care what you're wearing. Fuck me.
Yeah, I get my impression of Sydney is that it's more of like an outdoor city where people are just like running on the beach and kayaking and stuff.
And eating at Subway.
And
because
getting,
I think that the,
getting eaten by sharks.
Yeah, I think Real World took place in Sydney once and all they did was eat at Subway. That was like their central perk. Yeah. Every day there was a scene in a Subway.
Yeah, I believe that. That was actually an episode. That was the season that made me go away from the Real World. I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
I think that's the last full one I watched too, actually.
Well, I came back. I mean, it was the last of like, there was Real World Denver, which was so bad that afterwards I was like, I can't watch this. Then Sydney came along. I stopped watching. But then I came back again when it was like Real World Hollywood. I watched Hollywood and Brooklyn, and then I had to go again.
Oh, yeah. I watched Hollywood. I didn't watch Brooklyn, though. Too much.
I liked Brooklyn. So when they get to this art show, there are these various paintings of, like, nude women. And Gamble's like, oh, I don't think many of those women would pose nude, but, like, I would. Because, you know, I've studied art, and I get it. I'm like, what?
Oh, no. This was really uncomfortable. She says something more along the lines of,
I understand. Because I pose for it because my father's an artist.
I was like, she said, I'm comfortable posing nude because my father's an artist. And I was like, you're comfortable posing nude because your father, like, you're used to your father painting you.
Yeah.
I don't know, something
but
about
she used
that
the word, she used the word that she gets it. Like, as if, like, because there's some artistry in her family that she, therefore, has an understanding of posing nude, like, for paint. Like, it makes no sense. Why would she get it more than Petit Fleur?
She's like,
my father worked at a Walmart, so I understand upside down smile.
I understand things. I'm really good in the kitchen. I can chop things because my father worked at Walmart and they have a price chopper. I'm very good with fencing because my father, he worked at Walmart, and a little smiley face has an epee and he slices the prices.
I'm getting naked at a pool on Facebook because my father lived on the beach in Florida.
I really resent Janet saying that I have sex parties. Those are really just art parties.
My dad comes.
Well, in both ways. In both ways of the word.
So then it becomes my favorite part of the episode where Lydia... Oh, did this happen here? I don't know. My notes should be in order, right? But I love when Lydia's trying to start a fight because she hasn't done shit on the show except walk her dog, I think, so far this episode.
Lydia was not in Sydney. Lydia was...
Okay, then this was an earlier scene when Lydia's trying to start a fight with Gamble. Oh, we already talked about... God, I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
But when she's talking to Gamble and she's like, listen... I don't appreciate the way that the other day I was telling my lovely heartfelt story about my dead son, and you were laughing. And She's like,
that wasn't, I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing because Wolfie and I always laugh at weddings. And you talked about a wedding.
Wolf.
I didn't mean to interrupt your speech.
Yeah.
She's like, it wasn't a speech, all right? It was, you know, it wasn't a speech. And they're like, whoa. Everyone's like calling her on it. Like, yes, it was. If you have to be quiet for 5 minutes,
yeah,
it's a speech.
Yeah.
She's like, it was just a really long run-on sentence. And I was trying to think of the words.
It wasn't a speech. You know, speeches are juicy and full of flavor. No, Lydia, that's a peach, not a speech. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think I spread that wrong. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Does anyone is anyone hungry? I just made a speech cobbler. This is the sort of humor you get on this podcast. So everyone who has come on over from the For Crying Out Loud podcast, by the way, I have to give a big shout out to you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for giving us shout-outs. We hope to do your show soon. If you want to talk about parenting to anyone, you should talk to me.
Yeah,
I've never been in a relationship or had a child, so I'm the perfect one to talk to about it.
Yeah, and so if anyone is looking for a good parenting podcast, that's good for Crying Out Loud.
Yeah, It'll be For Crying Out Loud, the Mommy Issues Edition, and yeah. I'll just keep them on there for 3 hours. Really, Ronnie? That's actually... Your mother spilling Franzia at your confirmation is actually a decent story, so why are you crying?
So they've been giving us a few shout-outs. We have to give them a shout-out before we forget, so that's why I just wedged that right in there. Sorry. Sorry, everyone.
What else did I... Oh, I had Lydia. Lydia's like, you were making fun of me. I saw you smirk. And she's like, I don't smirk. She can't smirk. She cannot smirk. She's physically incapable. Bitch can barely open her jaw.
Yeah, she doesn't even know what a smirk means.
The jaw is the only thing that moves on her. There's no smirking with that upper face.
She's like, when you said I smirked, did you mean that I was being an artist? Because I was. I get that.
My father was a smirker.
He liked to paint still lifes and smirks. That's his art.
Who said, so wait, when do we get to...
So they're in Sydney.
My notes are... I'm sorry. I sound like this because I'm looking at my stupid, crazy notes that make no sense. I wrote, Janet, firecrackers can go off at any minute. Yeah, when they're lit, Janet. She's like, that girl's crazy. She's like a firecracker, and I'm afraid of firecrackers because they can go off any minute. Firecrackers do not go off any minute. They go off because you light them, you dumb bitch.
Well, when you
stop lighting firecrackers.
Yeah, but when you give these girls booze, you're essentially lighting up those firecrackers. I mean, there's a reason why getting drunk is called getting lit.
Wow, that was clever. I would have
laughed.
Wasn't
that clever?
That was drinking.
I was like, oh, Ronnie, I just made a clever thing.
I was drinking Chinese, the diet tea.
Oh, you were getting lit yourself.
Yeah, I'm getting lit on.
Well, first of all, but can we pause for a second? So let's go back to Sydney. They have this friend. Whose friend was it again? Was it Gamble's friend? Who was the... woman?
Gamble brought her sister and her friend, right? I think
there
was
a friend, this woman with black hair. She looked like half...
Lisa! His name is Lisa, everybody!
She looked half like Elvira, Mistress of the Night or the Dark or whatever, and half like Nancy Wilson circa 1987, right? Like, this woman was like...
Wishes. I think she looks like a torn up version of that chick who was on Real Housewives of New York for a year that had...
Yeah, Cindy Barstow.
Yeah, she looked like a methed out version of Cindy Barstow.
It was basically Barshop, you're right. Cindy Barstow is someone that's Sydney Barstow who is on Alias.
Yeah, she's way smarter. She's like, you guys, where are we going to be vajazzled today? Dun 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 dun.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm putting a poison jewel on her vagina to get her back for the CIA. Dun 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 dun.
Text appears on the bottom of the screen. Rome, Italy. Dun 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 dun. Vajazzle headquarters.
Asshole's getting bleached. Dun 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 dun.
She breaks in like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. She's like dangling from the ceiling, but through long vagina hairs.
Gross.
Ew. Or actually, it'd be more like she's just dangling instead of lasers. They're just like hairs stretched across.
We're classier than that, Ben.
I'm sorry.
With classy people on this podcast.
I said things really. My cleverness followed by bawdiness. I'm like, let's talk about vagina hairs now.
So what were you gonna say? before I rudely interrupt.
So her. I was saying, so this woman, whatever her name was, she was like really trashy, but she at one point she keeps on interrupting Petit Fleur, and Petit Fleur is getting so angry. Petit Fleur's like, I'm just trying to ask a question, I'm just trying to get an honest answer, trying to learn about this lady, and this woman, she cannot give me a word. Like, I can't get a word edgewise.
Petit Fleur is funny. She's like, I don't care because I just ignore it because I know how to tell people, be quiet now. It's time for me to talk.
I'm not frustrated. I'm just like, go away. And they cut her being totally frustrated. Like,
yeah.
Like, you can see the steam coming out of her ears, and like, she looks like Yosemite Sam. Yosemite Sam. Yosemite Samosa. Did I just say something racist? Because it wasn't meant to be racist. I'm sorry. I was just trying to make a pun. When I said Yosemite Samosa.
I don't know. I don't think that was racist.
If it was racist, I apologize.
I don't know. I think you're oversensitive. I'm undersensitive, and you're oversensitive.
Well, I am just trying. Well, you know, we have all these new listeners for crying out loud. I don't want them to think this is, you know, let's just remember
Ben,
what I made.
You know, at the end of the day, a woman's got to love you for you, Ben. She can't love you for something you're trying to be for her. She'll sense that and go find someone who's himself.
Yeah.
How do you like that, Ben? Being myself is why I've never found a man. So that advice turned out to be terrible. So thanks for whoever gave it to me.
Yeah.
Being yourself. Who the fuck wants to date someone who's being themselves? Just pooping, masturbating, fucking eating all day.
Yeah.
Anyway. sorry. Welcome, crying out loud. Yeah, you see, I ignored my own advice. That didn't work. Now I'm conflicted. So let's go back to the gallery.
Yeah.
Because the real drama came in here when Gamble's sister. Okay. So Tempest. Gamble has a sister in Melbourne, and now we see why everybody starves themselves and gets facelifts because that town doesn't do it the same. And I'm like, you guys don't fit together anymore. You guys have to keep the same plastic surgery schedules up, or you're not going to look like family anymore. Your Christmas cards are just going to look ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And her sister just came up out of the blue to Janet, was like, listen here, I want you to know, I love my sister. And I don't know if you know how much it hurt my sister. It hurt her, and so it hurt me. So now you've hurt her and me. It's like, whoa. Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, let's simmer down now. Simmer down now.
Auditions are over, okay?
Yeah. And then Janet was like, of course, you know, Janet should have just said, she just nodded. And be like this crazy woman, but Janet's like, "All right, well, I didn't make it up. I didn't make it up." And then, of course, that just made Tempest angrier. And Gamble just
stood there. Her name is Tempest.
Yeah, it's the Shakespearean theme continues.
It's probably spelled wrong.
Yeah,
just like Gamble.
Yeah,
it's like T-I-M-P-I-S.
Yeah, Tempest.
Tempest.
He is our brother Macbeth.
It's a Shakespeare play, so the mother did it, and she'll probably die in the end.
Yeah.
You have mean to my sister!
It's like, just whoa, like, shrew!
Yeah, tame that. Whoa. Tame that shrew. Get it? Being high-minded again.
Oh, show tunes.
Yeah, they should. She's like, let me show you my home. We live in a quaint little hamlet.
I would love to talk about this more, but I'm on my period and I need to go use the Midsummer Night's Eve.
As you like it.
Okay, so what's next here? Firecrackers can go off at any minute. Oh, and then Wolfie had his private talk with Gamble. And she's like,
I don't understand why these women, why are they talking to me, Wolfie?
And he's like, listen here, darling, I don't want to sound sexist, but men let things go. And sometimes women, you know, I don't want to sound sexist, but sometimes women maybe let it go on a bit too much. And she's like, really, Wolfie? Like, have you never noticed that about the women in the world? Like, I don't think you have to be a man to notice that.
Really, Wolfie? Women are like that? Movie.
And he's like, and she's like, and then she's like,
Wolfie and I have the same sense of humor.
I'm like, you didn't even say anything. You just both laughed at nothing.
He's like, men,
Men are from Mars, and women are from Venus.
No, I'm from Sydney. Wolfie, you're from Mars? You're a Martian? I didn't know that. That seems, this is pretty exciting. My husband's from outer space.
E-Harmony. No distance is too far from me. Earth within 50 billion light years.
My husband, he doesn't require a lot of oxygen to live. He doesn't need much. He came from outer space. Came in a little spaceship and landed in Australia.
Is that why you stop breathing in the middle of the night, Wolfie? I get so worried.
Oh, Wolfie, could we have a daughter who could stop time? Oh, Wolfie. Would you like to swing on a star, Wolfie?
So stupid.
Oh, Wolfie, when you leave this earth, will you leave a little contraption to speak to your daughter? So when she stops time, she can talk to you, Wolfie.
Oh my god. I'm trying to see where we are in notes. Oh my god.
So
I just wrote in big caps. People in Sydney. What the hell? And that wife of the artist. Well, first of all, the artist. Crazy. Yeah. Looks crazy. And then the artist, like, her face. She's like, had so much plastic surgery, and I guess she's just so old that she looks like she hit 90 and stopped.
Yeah.
It's like, and she's like, there's not enough fillers. They're like, man, we had to stop putting the fillers in you, darling, all right? There's only so much one face can take.
She's like, we take our dog into restaurants, we take him into museums, we take him everywhere, and we put him right there on the table. Oh. I'm like, everyone hates you in the restaurant right now, by the way. Every single person.
Later they went on the boat and there was like some apology on the boat between their stupid fighting, which we'll get to in a minute. But I love when that crazy woman was like,
rumors? What's a rumor? It's like a cloud in the sky.
How is a rumor like a cloud in the sky? That doesn't even make any sense. Because she's just married to an artist, so you know she just says stupid shit like that all day and gets away with it.
Because it's not real. It'll be gone in a moment. There's no there.
1 minute it's shaped like a dog. The next minute it's shaped like a rocket ship. The next minute it's the sky's blue. It's a rumor.
I'm just going to lie on a field of grass and pretend I'm in boyhood. Staring at the clouds.
You've watched me age 50 years and just this one episode. It's like boyhood in one boat ride.
Here's my mother, Patricia Arquette. I look older than my mother because I age fast. It's my art.
The Real Housewives are like the reality version of boyhood. If you watch the first season of any Housewives show and then you watch them like 5 years later, it's like you've watched a face go through an entire lifetime in 5 years.
I know.
Like, take that, Rich Linklater.
Yeah, you think you're so cool because you've followed a boy for 12 years. Why don't you try following one of these faces?
Like,
my face is so disturbing that Patricia Arquette gained 20 pounds.
I just want to get, like, footage of Vicky Gunvalson lying in grass and playing the song from Boyhood.
And watch her face morph from season one Vicky to, like, the wannabe 10. Gretchen that she's become.
Listen, it's already been 10 years. She just needs two more and she's caught up with Boyhood. Vicky Hood.
She's like on the third. She's like on the third movie by now in Housewives years.
Like, exactly, and you hear that, like, strumming guitar, and in the background you hear her saying, "I have not had sex with multiple partners."
little baby Vicky in season one would be like, "It's super important that you go get your car washed in Orange County. Everybody does it every day." My favorite Vicky Gumbleson thing is season one. The first Housewives I'd ever watched. Well, anyone's ever watched, but I watched it like years after it came out. And I was just sitting around on a Saturday and I was like, is this bitch fucking kidding? Because her whole storyline that day was like, I'm taking the kids to get the car washed because that's what you do in Orange County. You got to have a clean car.
Yeah, that's
like, what is this? Who is watching these shows?
Yeah, in the beginning it was just like lifestyle, and now it's like soap opera. But in the beginning it was just like that. Like, oh, we're going to go play some tennis now.
Yeah.
But
so we went to a party and we had sangria, and that was it. We had a great time. Woohoo!
I just want to collect footage from every season of Real Housewives of Orange County. I'm going to edit together all the footage of Vicky, and I'm just going to have pretty much in the middle of it, it's just going to be on permanent loop, Vicky getting hit in the face with a football like Marsha Brady. Be like, ah, na, na, I don't want to be your hero. Bonk, 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 bonk. And you won. Yeah, you know what? By the way, that really puts that movie in perspective. If you ever want to take the gas out of Boyhood, just be like, well, guess what? They've been filming Real Housewives of Orange County for 10 years, so... Yeah, it's not the only...
Just
not the
one
only...
housewife's face age in two or three seasons is like a whole Boyhood.
Yeah, it's like, you know what their faces are like? It's like that part in the black and white music video of Michael Jackson when everyone's faces morphs together. That's what it's like when you watch a montage.
Oh, God, that was disturbing. He's like, doesn't matter if you're black or white, but your face shape totally does.
Yeah, at one point, Vicky's face turns into Cree Summers, then into Tyra Banks, and then into just a baseball mitt.
So back to the gallery. Gamble's sister tells off Wetzel Buns.
Janet.
And Janet's like, I can't take it. I can't even do a Janet impersonation. Yeah,
she's like, if this is, darling, if this is what's going to happen every single time we get together, I don't want.
No, yeah, I'm doing Gamble, sorry.
I know it's hard not to slip into Gamble when you're doing Janet, but then this darling. Doesn't really sound like Janet anyway, then, sir.
Yeah, she's like,
can't really do Janet.
Darling, I'm just. It's like, darling, I just gotta...
No, I can't do it anymore. I can only do Gamble.
Yep, gone. I could do it before... I could do, like, a sad imitation of it. Like, unlike all my other impersonations. Back before there was a Gamble, but now Gamble's taken over. Sorry, Janet.
So Janet storms off, because she's just, like, annoyed that she's... Which is sort of understandable.
And I love Gina. Gina's like, well, you never know what's going on with Janet. She's got poker face. I'm not sure if that's from the surgeries or if it's just naturally.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, Gina starts to decide. She comes out of the bathroom where she probably was calling someone the C word. And then she
probably had her thumb over her mic while she was calling everybody there a C word.
Yeah. So she sees that like Gina's gone running off. I'm sorry, that Janet's gone running off. So Gina goes outside and she's like, all I could see was a gold dress with a tattoo and a head bobbling. Which was great. She is such a shady motherfucker.
She is, but she's so funny. So then they're chasing Janet down the street, and Gamble's like,
Janet, I'm sorry, darling. I'm being silly. It's just that I had some wine, and I miss Luffy. I didn't mean to be silly, Janet.
Janet's like, no, I've had enough.
I'm just sad because Wolfie got on his spaceship last night and went back to his planet. Oh, Wolfie.
His mother's still alive there. They live to be 500 years old. I'm trying to get a passport. Wolfie!
But Janet was not having it, and she was getting the hell out of there. And then Gina's chasing them both down the street like, come on, Jenny. What's the problem there, darling?
Yeah.
What's the problem? Yeah. And Janet's like, why are you getting into the middle of everything? And Gamble's like, aah!
There were so many sequins going down that street. It was like a disco ball parade.
It was hilarious. And then they grabbed Janet's arm to stop her in front of this restaurant with an outdoor cafe, and everyone was cracking up looking at these clowns.
Yeah, exactly, because they're all in, like, t-shirts and shorts, like, having beers.
Yeah, and these fucking ridiculous plastic-faced ladies are running down the street screaming at each other.
Meanwhile, back in the gallery, I mean, this is one of Pettiflor's good moments, because Pettiflor was like, actually, I don't think you understood what was happening, is that, like, Janet was merely trying to warn her of what was happening, and then Tempest's like, oh, I didn't realize. Oh, well, I guess I owe an apology then. I was great.
Even Gina stepped in there. She's like, you know, it was like, if you see something, then you try and give your friend, you know, you're trying to do her a favor, darling.
You should know your facts. But the funny thing was that, like, Tempest, who'd been like, when you say that, it hurts me, and you should have, I've stood up for my sister. And they're like, well, actually, she was just trying to, like, warn her. She's like, oh, I guess I owe an apology. Well, thanks, Tempest. A little late.
Yeah, well, you got your scene. Yeah. Oh, and we forgot to say Tempest screaming,
get some evidence then! Get some bloody evidence!
Yeah.
Which I love. Like, you're not really ever a stripper or a whore unless someone's got a picture of it on Instagram. Like,
yeah.
What the hell? What the hell kind of evidence do you want?
I'm so stupid. But I did like when Pettiflor was like, listen, I'm just trying to say, and then Tempest is like, okay, I understand. He's like, she's like, well, I'm just trying to get it through to you. I'm just trying to get it through into your head. And then she's like, oh, so you're saying I've got a low IQ now? Is that what you're saying? It's like, well, actually, yeah, Tempest, so far all signs point to yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're featured on this show prominently today, which means you must have crossed a stupid mark somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you won some kind of contest. Because normal people are not shown, okay?
Yeah.
If you've done something that you're actually featured in episodes of a Housewives show, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, because you know what? Even Elvira, Mistress of the Night, had less screen time than you, Tempest, which means that looking at her, you'd think she'd have a lower IQ, but no, like, you must have the lowest one.
Yep, that's pretty sad. When Tempest makes you look reserved. Yeah. I mean, when Lisa makes you look reserved.
Yeah.
Because that one was all over the place. She's like, what happened over here? I was over there talking. Yes, of course you were.
That's the way things work when you weren't there.
Okay, so then, meanwhile, back out on the sidewalk in front of gawking locals, the fight is still going on, and stupid Gamble's like,
come on, I want to be your friend, Janet.
And then she's walking back with Gina. They let her go, and she's like,
oh, I didn't mean to start that with Janet. Let's call her.
And then she's like, boy,
hello, this is Janet. Yeah. I'm fucking a 20-year-old. Please leave me a message. And she's like, beep. Cluck, 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 I'm cluck, like, cluck, cluck.
I know, I was like, diplomat of the year. She's like, oh, just funny. I'm just showing that we just sound like a bunch of chickens. I'm like, no, you idiot. It sounds like you're mocking her. You're so dumb. You were so dumb. That's not how you say you're sorry by calling them a chicken.
Oh my God, so funny. So then they go to dinner, then they go on a boat. I mean, they do a lot on this show. Let's think from the very beginning of the show, and we're not even done yet. But in the beginning of the show, what were they doing? Liddy was just walking. But they played like croquet. They went to a sporting event. They went to a hotel. They went to an art gallery. They went on a boat, and then they went to another restaurant. I mean, that's a lot of locations.
Yeah, they did a lot. And on top of that, Cheeker cooked dinner with her son.
Oh, my God. Cheeker cooking dinner in her tight white pants with her fucking granny panties showing through.
I actually really enjoyed that scene. I was like, because she was getting so pissed. She's like, it's not going to go that way. You're not going to fit that pan in that way. You're not going to. You're not going to. Say.
And I love that her son is wearing tight white pants, just like her, where his wiener's like all squeezed up against it, like moose knuckle or whatever they call the boy camel toe. Mm-hmm. And he's the son of a gay guy, and his name is BJ. That is so awkward. That is the most awkward name to give your straight son. Like, if you're a gay guy, don't name your children BJ, because then you have awkward moments like at dinner where the gay dad says, BJ, I'll have some more of that. You do not want your gay husband having that quote on a Housewives show. That's a quote.
I do believe. I'm just going to assume that BJ stands for Bruce Lee Jr.
Bruce Lee Jr.
Bruce Lee. Service a bit slow in here.
Yeah.
By the way, that meal looked delicious. I was like,
I'm not looking at it. I'm not eating at the moment, so
It looked like they were making some sort of chicken piccata. It was like, I want it.
Yeah, when it comes to these shows and I'm dieting, I tend to avoid looking at the food and concentrate on their faces. It keeps me from eating.
Yeah, that helps.
For a little while longer. It's like the diet tea from the Chinese store.
Yeah. So, okay. So then after the everything, the fiasco at the gallery, the next day they went on a boat in Sydney Harbor, right? Which was nice.
Seeing all of those rubbery bitches in that nature looked crazy.
I know.
It was like running up against like a neon glow stick in the middle of a forest. Like, how did this completely unnatural thing end up like in a tree?
I know.
How did this happen? It's like seeing a duck walking around, like a duck swimming around in a lake wearing like iPod earphones or something. It just doesn't look right.
I was thinking something was out of place.
Stay away from nature.
All the sharks
were scaring it.
All the sharks in the bay were like, what the fuck? Let's get out of here. The great coral reef came alive, and it's on a boat.
The sharks. So they went on a boat, and someone apologized to somebody, and then
rivers are like clouds.
Yeah, and Janet.
Then they went to dinner after that, right?
So then Janet showed up at dinner, and Gamble apologized to her, gave her a very heartfelt apology. It was a good apology. I actually give little little cred to Gamble. She did the right thing, right?
Gamble is a woman who is used to apologizing.
Yeah,
you can
course.
Tell. She gets from a face that moves. You can like actually read her eyes when she's
apologizing. What I just realized?
Because you know she's done it so many times.
You know what I just realized? What Gamble looks like? She looks like a hand puppet. She looks like a Senior Wences thing, you know, where you make your fist and you move your thumb up and down. And
yes,
that's exactly
yes.
what
like
she
a
looks
literal
like.
Puppet that you
like
make
where you
with
make
your
with
hand.
Your thumb and you talk like that, like Senior Wences. That's exactly what she looks like.
Oh my god,
that is what
I can't,
Gamble
I'm
is.
Doing it right now. Sorry, yeah. I can't talk.
Everyone can do it. Everyone can have their own little Gamble.
I'm sorry, I get silly sometimes.
Guys, big news. Gamble is here. I can see her. She's right in front of me.
Oh, Wolfoo.
By the way, this is like the most fun thing I've done all week is look at my own little hand and go, oh, Wolfoo. Oh. Maybe we'll do our Google Hangout all with Gamble.
Oh, Wolfoo.
I practically do this whole show as Wolfie. It's Gamble now.
If you've come over from the For Crying Out Loud podcast, the recap is that we are currently now doing our podcast via hand puppet that you can't even see.
We're pros.
Yeah.
We're pros on this show.
Real professional. We're just like Adam Carolla.
So what else happened on this show? Because weren't they fighting in that restaurant? Didn't they get in some kind of fight?
Well, because they started to reiterate it again. And
like,
then
the
Gina, so then
did you say he fucked my husband? It's like, no, they didn't say that.
So then but Gina
people need to listen.
So Gina started to say something and Janet's like, excuse me, we're having a private conversation. And Gina's like, there's six people here at this table. If you can do something privately, I suggest you go elsewhere. And then like Janet and Gina started to fight. But then Janet was, they sort of like smoothed over in a strange way where Janet's like, well, listen, we've been friends and sometimes we're not friends and sometimes we are. And they just started to joke it that way. And then Pettifleur started to say something and they kind of like, they kind of broke the tension by all ragging on him. She's like, well,
oh,
I'm an expert
I'm
in diamonds.
That. What was well, because it? It was like,
they were talking about diamonds.
Art or something. Or like they got the food and she's like, I'm a four
no,
star
it was,
chef.
It was no, about the no, it was about no. diamonds. Someone was getting a diamond, a ring, or an engagement ring.
Oh, she said,
ring.
I'm a diamond expert. And they all started laughing, like, yeah, you are. Of course you are.
And then Gina was like, we'll start calling you Eddie the Expert. And then, Eddie Expert. And then she's like, well, I resent that. I resent that quite a bit. And she's trying to talk. And everyone keeps talking over her. And they're like, oh, Pettifleur, I think maybe one of your problems is you have an accent. And she's like, well, no, I actually learned my English from nuns.
Oh my god, this was so good.
She's like,
she's like, Pettifleur. No, Janet or somebody was like, Pettifleur, it's just that when you talk, sometimes you give an intro to what you're about to say. So by the time you get to it, we're bored.
Yeah.
And then Gina's like, yeah, maybe it's because you have an accent.
Yeah, which is totally like ridiculous.
So rude.
Way more racist than my samosa comment.
So funny. And then they all started laughing and they're like, yeah.
And she's like, no. She's like, I learned.
I grew up with nuns who taught us in an English accent. And she's like, well, it didn't work, darling.
And then they all laugh at her. I was like, this is so nasty. Making fun of this poor woman for her accent. I mean, we do her accent because we always try to do everyone's accents. But they're actually kind of holding her accent against her. I was like, this is so nasty. And they're all just like.
But it's also just not America. America is the only place that can't take the piss like everybody else. You know, we get so offended by everything. We're like, we get off on being outraged here, you know, every little thing.
I know. It's fun to be outraged.
Like Tori Spelling on a hibachi grill. Yeah. I mean, it's trending. It's trending on the news.
It's burning up.
Burning up the internet, one charred broke bone at a time.
So poor Pettifleur, she is just, yeah, because she also, you know, Pettifleur also had an incident earlier in the episode when she was trying to make a point about the art. She's like, whoever made this art? And they're like, whoever, we know who the artist is. And they start like just like laughing at her, and she's like, but
she's trying so hard, and every time she's in a scene, they talk over her and ignore her because she's such a blathering idiot.
And
I don't blame them. She's obnoxious.
And I've been there.
Interviews, and she sounds like she's this badass bitch. Like, if you believe everything in her interviews, she's just, like, standing up for herself. She's this badass. Everybody respects her, but no one listens.
And it actually kind of makes me like her a little bit because I've been there. I've had so many times when I start describing something and someone cuts me off.
I mean, just today.
just right now. But where someone cuts you off, and then because you haven't, like, made your point yet, they start, like, they make a joke out of what you've said so far, and, like, everyone laughs, but then, like, you can't get your point across, and you're like, arr! And it happens to me all the time. I'm, like, yes. I'm basically, like, the petty fleur of life.
Well, you're also friends with me. Sorry, darling. But that's also the oldest housewives trick in the book, you know, being the one that everyone's mean to, because that's how you get fans.
I know. That's the thing that Petite Fleur doesn't realize, that she actually has a great position of power, but instead she's just getting, like, angry and stomping her foot on the ground.
Listen, lady, Brandy Glanville has me immunized against that attack from now on. I will never fall for that again. Oh, God, that's going to be an entire Thursday of that. Let's hold it.
I know. Everyone should be very excited for Thursday's show. Oh, I can't wait for tonight's reunion madness. All right, well, we have truly talked this episode to death. And if you didn't watch Melbourne this week, well, we're very sorry that we've just taken up 50 full minutes of your time. So why don't we move on to another show? Shall we move on to Atlanta?
Let's do it.
All righty. So Atlanta. Okay. I was trying to take notes, but I didn't take too many notes this week. I don't think a huge amount really happened, but...
Okay, here, I'll just read notes really fast, and you can stop me when you want to talk about something, okay?
Okay, okay. I have one thing that I want to talk about, but let's see if it comes up.
Yeah, we'll get there, because these are in order this time, unlike my cracked-out Melbourne
Listen,
notes.
It was just very postmodern. It was a post... Like, it's like, structure? Who cares about structure? It's postmodern podcast time.
My father looked at a postcard of art one time, so I know what I'm talking about.
Postmodernism.
I get it.
Postmodern? Huh? Postmodern chicken? Bok, bok, bok. Those bucks were out of order.
All right, Real Housewives of Atlanta. First of all, I got like four ringers from this episode today. I got Phaedra going, Jesus. And I got Nene saying, you are full of shit. I mean, I got so many good ones from this. But anyway, notes. Noelle's homecoming.
Oh, Noelle is so pretty. I love that she's turning into such a nice little girl. I mean, mm-hmm. like, not nice little girl. Like, she's grown up from being a nice little girl. She's growing. She looks like she's growing into a wholesome teenager.
Hopefully one day she'll be responsible enough to support an old man just like her mom.
Yeah, maybe
fingers
she,
crossed.
Maybe she too can bankroll a club under a highway.
Where Martin Luther King was buried in the the backyard or whatever.
The club where Malcolm X was buried next door.
Sorry.
Under the highway. No. MLK was next to Cynthia's and Malcolm X.
Oh, I thought so. Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. I was making a joke.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry. No, I actually thought for a minute. I was like, actually, that is kind of edgy if Malcolm X died. Like, that's different. I think it's disrespectful to open a bar like right where they were preparing Martin Luther King to be married. But Malcolm X is kind of edgy. Like, I think he'd probably like to know that people are having a drink and talking while he's
just as long as Peter isn't opening the bar, I'm sure his skeleton will be happy. But if it's like Peter's like, hey, I'm gonna open up a bar over Malcolm X's body, Malcolm X will be like, please don't.
Yeah, please don't. They probably would on this show. Make a whole show about
it. It's like, what's more insulting, that there's a highway right over where MLK died, or that Peter put a bar next to it? I think it's Peter.
The I Had a Dreamsicle Martini. Okay, so Noelle's homecoming.
The letter from Birmingham and cheese sandwich.
We're so stupid.
So stupid. Sell mac and cheese.
The Selma Alami sandwich.
Off the menu at Bar One. Stupid Bar One. To think that I thought
because we're doing this so many more hours now. Like, we're adding. When would we ever have talked about Melbourne for an entire hour? Never, right?
I know. Well, and to think that I thought my samosa joke was going to be the most racist thing that would come up. And here we are.
It's not racist, is it? Oh, my God. Well, is that racist what we just did? Stop saying racist. It's making me feel like I'm being racist.
Making
I don't
jokes.
Think I'm being racist.
We're making jokes and we're making light of very important things.
You can make
things.
MLK jokes.
I know. I agree.
Just got, people
I agree.
Just got mad at me for my Maya Angelou jokes because it was like the second after she died. I saw it on Twitter and started making jokes. That wasn't cool. But I think when it's been this long, you're allowed to make jokes, right?
Yeah. Well, especially when it's like the joke is really at Peter profiteering off of his
yeah, exactly.
shit club.
And also, when you have boulevards named after you, you're allowed to be made fun of. Like, you can't be untouchable when you have streets named after you anymore. Like, you're a public enough figure that you're open. All right, Martin Luther King.
That's right. So sunsets around the world, it's coming to you now. Stupid. That was a boulevard joke. That was a little boulevard pun for everyone.
Oh my God. God help us. All right. No. So we're going to get through this, guys. Yep. Noelle's homecoming. Kenya, how to enter. Shut up, Kenya. She's like, first, get a big fake ass.
Yeah.
Okay. Nini, I like that Kenya's talking about how to make entrances when her entrance on the show is basically telling somebody off the second she met them, like Portia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nini, oh my God, when Greg took Nini to Sardi's, I died.
Okay, that was what I wanted to talk about. That was my only note, was when Greg is like, they're talking to Brent, and he's like, this is where actors would come in between shows and have lunch. He's like, so I just want to pass along this Broadway tradition to you. And I'm like, what? Since when does Greg get to pass along Broadway traditions?
Also piss in the alley at intermission. You want to do that too? Like, you don't need to do everything actors did.
This is not your tradition to pass along, okay? I did not see you up on stage as Mr. Mistopheles, okay? Just
kidding. He's like, Nini, Nini, I want to explain something to you, Nini. Now, when you do good on Broadway, like real good on Broadway, they give you an award. It's called a Tony Award. So I got a waiter named Tony just for you. I'm going to pass this tradition along to you, Nini.
He's like, Nini, you know, there are a lot of theaters on Broadway. So they call going all these theaters, they just call it Broadway. And I'm going to teach that to you right now. he's just like a very stupid man. I feel like he's a stupid man talking on TV, and I'm like a little sick of it.
I just love him because I love that Greg is always giving a sermon. Like, no matter what he's talking about, it's like the most important thing in the world, and you can just tell in his tone. You know, he's like, I got to go to the back. I'm gonna look around for a door. It's either gonna have an M on it or a W. I'm going to choose the W, and I'm going to zip down my zipper, and I'm going to urinate. It's like, just go pee, Greg. We don't need a fucking speech about it, for crying out loud.
I know.
For crying out loud, another shout out.
Yes. Another shout out to For Crying Out Loud. For Crying Out Loud.
We're going
to
make up for it, For Crying Out Loud, 20 times in one show.
Yes. Yes.
So he's saying, now look at all these walls. Now, those walls were all caricatures, but they all kind of look like Nini's face. Nini's face. If Hirschfeld was still alive, he wouldn't be able to fit that thing onto a pad.
Yeah. It would just look like a bunch of circular shapes. It would just be so exaggerated.
Teeth. It's just all teeth and a bad wig.
Yeah. It would basically...
Sure looks like a Hirschfeld drawing. Goddamn.
She does.
And he's like, one day you'll be in here, Nini. Your picture will be up there with all those old white men. And she's like, I'm going to talk to the owner on the way out. She probably did, too.
Yeah.
She was probably like, comment card. Like, 0 stars on Yelp. There is not a moose on this wall with a blonde wig on.
Yeah.
No tip.
Yeah.
And I also love that they're like, now, she's like, Bryce, you can go for a block. Oh, no, was Greg. Greg's like, you can walk for a block. And he's like, only a block, Dad? Yeah, any block that doesn't have a Walmart for you to rob, you little fucker. Isn't he the one who was, like, robbing stores?
No, Brent is the good kid. Bryson is the bad kid.
Oh, then why are they punishing him for Bryson's problems? Let him walk a few blocks. It's New York. How else is he supposed to have fun?
Yeah, he's a tall, big guy. No one's going to mess with him.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was probably learning worse at home.
Yeah.
He'll be safe in Times Square. He'll be fine. Yeah. It's like the worst he can get into is like getting too much pizza grease on his shirt. He'll be okay, everybody. He'll survive
it. He's like, someone put an APB on Brent. I think he went into the ESPN zone. It's dangerous. Dangerous.
Oh, so the next part was Candy's, you know, showing off her products and her remote control panties, which sound terrifying to me.
See? Now, panties, Riley, put on the panties.
I don't know about that, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
So she's talking about how she's going to have a date with Todd. I mean, who cares? I don't even know why I write some of this shit down.
Todd is an asshole. Todd is an asshole, and he doesn't realize where his bread is buttered, and he thinks he's Harvey Weinstein because he got a second season of Hollywood Divas. Okay, I don't even know what network that's on. Is it on Wii? I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
It's like, look it up, though. It's got like Lisa Wu Hartwell. Some people watch it. It got a second season, and he's like, "Oh, babe." He's like, "Babe." He's like, "Well." He's like, "I'm gonna have to go back to Los Angeles. So why don't you move out to Los Angeles?" And she's like, "See,
you're actually starting to sound like him."
Yeah, she's like, "See now, Ryder, it's got school." And he's like, "Well, then I guess you won't come out." But it's like, you're such an asshole. You're gonna make everyone move.
No, he said. His response was, "Well, if you had a if you had a movie deal, we'd have to do it. You'd go." You take her out of school and go. It's like, this is not a movie deal, okay? This is a show that could be filmed, like, in front of a green screen, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
Like, what's the set? A bunch of folding tables and some fucking... I've seen this Hollywood Divas before, and it's like real Hollywood, like, where they're living in, like, ramshackle.
Yeah.
They're living in, like...
Like, under their Zanku chicken.
Have, like, that popcorn shit on them. No offense if yours does.
I have
anybody,
that. Yes,
anybody
I
out there.
I have, like, the valley has. Not only do I have popcorn ceiling, I am not ashamed of it. I don't know why people hate it so much. I'm fine with it. It's just a ceiling.
Because it's gross. It looks like your ceiling has been sleeping around.
Good. It has been.
I'm trying to think if I'm making fun of the right.
Your point.
One of these Divas shows, and they all lived in like really sad apartments, and they were actually going to like auditions off Craigslist or something.
But your point is this. It's faulty logic what Todd says about, like, well, if you had a movie, because a movie is a big deal. And if you have a movie, that's like a lot of income. It's a high-profile project. It's, like, something that can move your career along. Like, it's not to say that a reality show won't move your career along. But it's, like, a reality show, and it's, like, a generic one. And it's one that's, like, sort of at the bottom of the reality TV totem pole. And it could be just as easily filmed anywhere. And... I don't know. I think he's entitled to go do a second. Go do the second season. You should.
Also,
congratulations.
Candy got a movie.
But make everyone
she
move.
Went to do the movie. She would take her child with her because she had to work and she's taking her kid. It's not really the same thing as you. It's not the same thing. I mean, I know that it should be because it's what he's saying is like we would do it for your work, but not mine. Like your work is taking precedence over mine. But you know, when you have a kid, the kid wins. And where's he going to leave his kid with her house? So
yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
But
I just think that, like...
she is going to go to L.A. anyway. They had come out earlier in, I don't know, some stupid article. I probably read one sentence on Radar Online because they're stupid pop-up ads trying to make me watch some ad. I'm not doing it, Radar Online. I'm going to say that every week until you take that shit off. But anyway, what was I saying? Bueller's growling at somebody. I was trying to see who it was. But I totally just brain farted on what I was going
to
say.
Something about moving to L.A.? Something about moving to L.A. and things like that. Things of that
moving
nature.
To L.A., that's what we were talking about?
Well, like, meaning, like, Candy and picking up going to L.A.
There was an article in some blog or whatever that was in sort of the beginning of the season when they started showing the Todd and Candy problems, because everybody's hating on Todd on the internet, which they should. He's an asshole. But Candy was saying that she regrets putting their relationship on screen like that because it's hard for them when he's getting all the hate because he starts, and she didn't say this, but I mean, obviously he would start resenting her because he's Todd and apparently that's how he rolls because of all the hate he's getting for this. Like they're trying to be honest about their relationship, but if you marry an asshole, don't put him on TV. I mean, what the hell? People are going to comment on it.
Yeah, exactly. Or how about just don't be an asshole? That's a good one too.
Yeah. I love that Todd showed up with taller hair. Like you're still short, right? And you know that just made your head bigger.
And his,
what
like,
are you doing?
His oddly sculpted beard.
Yeah, and he's so arrogant. And that whole thing when Candy's like, what did I do to deserve coming to such a nice restaurant?
Came to a nice restaurant in her Hoochie Mom address. By the way, Kwame, not doing our girl Candy any justice. That was a full-on hooker dress, that like leopard print, like mini, like short-length dress with the boobs hanging out in the front, too tight. Like that was... Hooker.
Well, it was
hooker dress.
Night. She
hooker.
Was trying to look like a hooker. That's why she brought a bag of toys. I mean, it's sad
she should,
when
no, she should look, to admit
she
should look sexy, not like
a
hooker.
A bag of toys to get pleased.
She should look, see, now, she should look sexy, but not like a hooker. There's a way to do that. There's a way to do that, but you don't have to look like a hooker in the process.
Yeah, I think she's just trying to do anything to turn Todd on because he's, you know, he's cheating or something.
Oh,
I mean, come on.
Yeah, totally.
Like, a guy who got his first show produced feels like he's on top of the world. He got taller hair, for Christ's sake. That's got to say something about what he's going through right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's got pussy all over the place.
Oh, everywhere. Everywhere. Every corner.
You know, well, but I can't wait to see her
low level, low level pussy, because, you know, any high caliber pussy is not going for Todd.
Well, you know, like, but some PA pussy. I mean, guys don't care as much.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see here. Bryce, Phaedra. Yeah, that was sad. Okay, so Phaedra. Phaedra has decided to start a charity for fatherless boys. Now, this is four boys. Yeah. So the logo is SOS. What is it? SOS Phaedra. What is it?
I didn't see the logo. I didn't notice it.
SOS something, and it's save first of all, which means sons. Son of Sam, and no, also
save
I
our
guess,
sons.
Help.
Save our sons.
Save our sons. Save our sons. And it's in like pink glitter. The logo is like in pink glitter. Like, what are you?
Whoops.
What are you doing? But I love that she's starting a thing for fatherless children. Which, look, I mean, it's a good idea. Like, about, you know, being a strong man and not leaving and stuff. But Phaedra, how about you don't marry a felon and have children with him and then wonder why he's back in jail? That's probably step one. Maybe you should do this for women.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the problem here was you marrying an idiot, not really that he's a felon because he came that way.
Right.
Right? Is that too harsh?
Right.
I just thought it was weird.
Well,
and then she has this thing with fatherless children. And Greg gets up to leave early. Like, how does that make the children feel? This is supposed to be about men leaving. And then the men start getting up and leaving. It's like, well, this is a failure.
Well, I also liked how she has this the panel of men. She's like Judge Mathis and various other, like black figures. And it's like a solid panel. It looks like a pretty good event, actually. And then Peter just keeps hijacking the microphone and be like, no, I realize, like, I'm not part of this, but, like, I just want to say, he just starts speaking nonsense.
I mean, he was really talking total, as Lydia would say, gobbledygook. Like, he's really, this is him on the mic. He's like, hey, yeah. And he doesn't even stand up, which I love.
Yeah, he's slouched back.
He's sitting leaned back. With like one leg crossed over, and he's like, hey, like he's being interviewed on the fucking actor. What's the actor show?
Yeah, Inside the Actor Studio.
Yeah, Inside the Actor Studio. And he's sitting there like he's being interviewed, and he's like, hey, yo, I just wanted to say that, you know, like these boys, like they don't know. And I'm not like calling them stupid or nothing. I'm just saying, like, these boys, they don't know. They don't have experience. They don't know nothing. I'm like, what are you talking about? And why are you calling all the people that the charity is for stupid?
Yeah.
Who are you? Get out of here. Why would you let Peter in anywhere?
Peter's only good for one thing, and we discovered that this episode, which is doing a Jamaican accent. Because that was funny. Because I think he's Jamaican, right? So he was coaching Cynthia on her Jamaican accent for Kenya's pilot. LOL. But like when he was doing the Jamaican, when he was talking in the Jamaican sort of pidgin accent, now that was funny. I was like, oh wow, it took like 4 years, but Peter finally did something that was like funny and enjoyable.
Oh, I thought his speech was pretty good. I find him funny and enjoyable.
Well, but like
awful.
No, he's yes. But this is the first time he was doing something that was like he was being intentionally funny and it was making
me laugh. Missed it. I got up to go to the bathroom at that part.
Oh, he was doing all this, like, he was doing all this stuff. He's like, oh, I can't even remember what he was saying, but he's like, I'll go on. He's like, well, he was saying something in, like, a Jamaican way. It was like, how's it going? But it was like, he's like, how's it going? I don't remember how it went, but it was just like, anyway, it was really, for crying out loud.
Do you know how lucky black men are that they can talk to their women like that? Do you know if he was a white guy and his wife just came home from vacation, he said, damn, babe, your butt's even bigger now than it was before. Jeez, your ass is huge. He would get slaughtered. She would slit his throat. Yeah. But Cynthia's like, really, babe, that makes me feel insecure. And he's like, damn, look at that butt.
Imagine Heather Dubrow receiving that comment from Terry.
Oh, by the way, this is just a cut-in. Sorry, everybody. All right, we're going to interrupt.
Yes, breaking news.
There was something really awesome that happened last night, I think, where Dubrow, I guess, was on, or it was 2 days ago, Dr. Dubrow was on Watch What Happens and said something about Bethany Frankel maybe being a little too thin. And then she wrote this long ass tweet like, who the fuck is Terry Dubrow? And why would he think that it's his business to be talking about a woman, blah, 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 and like went ape shit on him on the Twitter. So everybody maybe follow up with that and see the responses and post them for me because I'm too lazy to search it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say that while we're talking about big asses, it brought Bethany to mind, obviously.
Poor Terry Dubrow, he just does not do well with those shrewish brunettes from New York. He can't say anything without them just coming down on him.
Perfect example. He comments on a body's woman's weight, and look how a white woman reacts. Look at Bethany's tweet, and then compare that to
Cynthia.
Compare that to Cynthia.
There you go.
And like, whatever, babe.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, he's an idiot, and that sitcom looks awful.
Oh, yeah. That pilot.
I wasn't finished with the Phaedra thing. She's talking about colonics a lot, and I also wanted to talk about the font on her nameplate. Have you noticed that?
No.
It's like gothic. It's weird. It's like horror movie font.
I haven't noticed that.
It's like 1800s horror movie font. And also I wanted to say, I hope that she rethinks her fatherless men's rally and just like lines up a bunch of felons for single women to choose up.
Well, we're
find a father.
Well, we're sort of overlooking the big part about this whole event.
Yeah, I guess we could just talk about that. We don't need to skip around scenes like the show does. That's maybe why my notes
seem the big thing that happened in this event is that Nini came. Nini flew down from New York. Which was nice, although, you know, it was a little bit like, you know, that the reason why she probably flew down was that way she could say, I flew down from New York, you know?
Well, also, she's probably contracted to at least be with the women for a week out of her entire, you know, 2 months of shooting, for Christ's sake.
So they are, basically all the women have been enlisted to help put together these plates of food, which looked so good. Oh my God, that chicken looked amazing. And Claudia, I mean, I love Claudia, but she was basically looking for a fight. She basically was like, so Nini, like, last time we saw you, you sort of, like, left this sort of, like, explosive. So why'd you leave? Why'd you leave? How are you feeling? Well, we worked through a lot of things. And he's like, that's good for you. I'm glad you guys worked things out. But then Nini, of course, is like, I just don't see how it's good for anyone if you all gang up on me.
You know, you guys gang up on one person. I don't see how that's cool. Everybody just ganging up on the one person. And, oh, wow, wow, wow. Yeah. Housewife bully tears. Every bully on a housewife has those tears. Everybody's being mean to me. Later, when she left and stormed out, she was like, you know, every time I show up, there's a lot of negativity. And I'm a very positive person. It's like, why do you think that happens every time you show up? I mean, today it wasn't you, but it was based on you. You know, all that shit was based on shit you pulled in the past.
Yeah. And how about, everyone was like, you know, she was like, well, I'm going to leave because I don't want Nene to come out and this is a charity function or whatever.
Phaedra goes, Nene.
But, like, how about this, Nini? How about you, like, exhibit some self-control? I mean, this is, like, now the second charity function in two seasons where you've stormed off in... Well, last year was crazier when Cynthia had, like, the Bailey Bowl and then Nini got mad at, like, Kenya or something and she just, like, ran off.
You're a friend. She's like, I didn't know I had good friends with this charity or whatever. Wow. Yeah, at least she didn't take the mic this time. That was impressive.
Yeah.
You got to hand it to her. It's restraint. But I think she was, I mean, I think you're right, and she was right. And even though she's a total asshole, I think she was right this time when she said, you know,
she didn't want to make a scene.
They're trying to
use
my light. She's like, they're trying to stand in my light. It's like, oh, Lord. Like, to give themselves something to do. But, you know, that is what Claudia is doing. She's basically like the new girl on a show taking down the queen. Because that's what you do on a housewife show. You come in and you take down the queen. That's why they're all mean to the new people.
Yeah. And Claudia's doing a great job of it so far. Even though she's like a little, kind of like a small barking dog this week. But, I mean, Nini's just out of control. I want her off the show so badly.
When they show her next week going, Cinderella! It's like, oh, good. You can't even say Cinderella believably.
Yeah.
All you have to, speaking of terrible acting... Kenya's sitcom. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
First of all, is her friend directing the sitcom?
I don't know what's
her friend
happening.
Said cut. What's his name? The guy that Apollo pushed?
Oh, yeah. Brandon. Maybe he is directing it. I don't know. I know he is. He's like one of the producers on it. Cynthia's ex is one of the actors, and Cynthia's on and everything. Look, I appreciate... By the way, here's the thing. I think it's really cool that Kenya put it all together as a writer myself. Like, I could only wish I had the resources to get one of my things shot like that, even if it went nowhere. But that being said, her thing looks like shit.
It looks like shit. And I love that Kenya's like, as the actor, writer, producer, director, craft services person, PA, costumer, driver. It's like, shut up, Kenya.
When she did that scream, like, there's one part where she was like, okay, I'm going to come screaming out of the house. She's like, ah.
I know, she couldn't even do that. She's like holding a knife over her head going, ah.
No, that's even more convincing. She was like, ah. That's how I would scream.
Oh, Lord, Kenya. I don't know if that's going to work out for you. But Kenya's fun to watch this season.
She's always fun to watch. I'm like, I'm a big fan of Kenya's.
Yeah, I think she's kind of an obnoxious cow, but she's fun to watch this season.
Yeah.
I love this show, though. I think they're all fun to watch.
I think there's going to be a really interesting reunion.
Oh, my God. These women. How are they even going to get through a reunion on this show?
Well, Nini's going to spend 3/4 of it sitting next to Andy with her mouth, with like a puss on her face, and she'll be responding with just like single words, yes, no.
And she'll have her body turned to him the next entire question, time please. Like he's just interviewing her.
Yeah.
That's
next
my
question,
favorite
please.
Nini reunion move, where she looks like she's on Watch What Happens just having a single interview, and she just doesn't even look at anybody else.
It would be great if she weren't sitting next to Andy. I would love that.
He would never do that. He's the biggest pussy I've ever seen. He would never do that.
Yeah. No, she is going to be sitting there, and then she'll be single responses only until someone finally gets her goat, and then she will really, then she'll start lay into them and then go back to being demure victim. Like, well, I'm not going to say anything because no one cares about what I have to say anyway, so I'm just going to sit here and be quiet. Next question, please.
Totally. Oh, I wrote on the only note I have under is Kenya's bad acting in Cats, and then under I wrote, I'm an idiot today. I'm so sorry. I can't even read it. Never mind. I'm laughing at my own stupid scribbles. I just drew a really dumb picture. I'll post it later. So what else happened on this? Oh, no. This is what it says. It said, this scene is an example of why men leave in the first place. Oh. Like, don't have this girl stand up for your charity, Phaedra.
Yeah.
This is why there are so many fatherless children, because crazy bitches like Kenya running around.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah. When they come back from the kitchen, it would have been funny if all the men were gone. I guess that's the end of that. Next week, there's some other. Oh, God. I'm sure someone else is yelling at each other next week. What'd they even show for next week? Do you remember?
Just Cinderella. That's all I remember. But then we moved on to. Then we have
Blood, Sweat, and Heels. But they roll from Australia.
Blood, Sweat, and Heels. This is a funny show. It's making me chuckle. First of all, the only note that I wrote down was when Geneva said that she had to eat because she's a natural bulimic.
Oh, my God. How stupid is that woman? And then Mike is like, really? Because a natural bulimic would be thin. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I think she probably meant like naturally also, anemic.
That's also the thing that, and I've said this myself as a heavy person, but that's so the thing that heavy people say. They're like, I tried to be vegan once, but it made me sick.
Yeah.
Really? Eating fruits and vegetables made you sick?
Yeah.
You need to reevaluate your diet if eating a fruit and a vegetable made you sick, okay?
Yeah. Geneva's the same woman who last week said, like, hey, sit back, relax, and decompose.
Oh, God. She is so naturally stupid. Bulimic. Okay, here's my blood.
Wesley Snipes.
Mike is like, who was saying this? I was trying to say something, but she just kept eating the cheese.
Yeah.
What's her buns was hungry at that event. She's like, I'm hungry, but she kept eating all the cheese.
Oh, yeah, Daisy.
And then editors cut to her putting a gigantic slice of cheese in her mouth and then put like 4 more edits of her eating cheese.
Yeah. Poor Daisy. So, okay. I want Daisy to quit this show. She has stage 3 cancer, and the doctor's like, "Hey, your white
she
blood cells."
She was looking like Mary J. rolled out of bed on this episode. She is not looking cute. She needs to take care of herself.
Yeah, they were like, "Listen, your white blood cells are down. You stay out of public. Like, don't like you know. Basically, like you have to like stay in and rest, etc." And she's like, but I have a segment or whatever. I gotta, like, why is she, the only reason why she's going this stupid matchmaker thing at the end of the episode is because she's doing it for the TV show. Like, Daisy, this is your health. Like, don't do this. You don't need
to
be at the
match. You have stage 3 cancer. Now's not the time to be getting dick.
Yeah.
All right? Stay home for a night.
Stay home. You don't need to be sitting next to Geneva and her cheese chomping ways.
And her bad English. Geneva, learn some words.
I know. But, stupid. So
God,
the new girl.
So stupid. Okay, yeah. So it starts with Geneva and the new girl, the English gal. But she's English
Chantal.
And Jamaican, right? So her accent.
Oh, is she Jamaican? Oh.
I think she said Jamaican. English and Jamaican. So I can't even get what she's doing with her accent. But I like it so far. And I like that she's a bitch on wheels already.
Yeah.
But she likes the other girls, and Geneva's all upset because that's her friend.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't know. This show's kind of slow for me, but I do enjoy watching it.
She basically put together this, like, singles night where she had Micah and Geneva come together over dinner. And the two women...
Before you go on, let me just interrupt you to say one thing I did love about the scene of just her in her house with her friend. Her friend's like, are you single? Do you want to find a man? And she's like, yeah, girl, I'm single as a dollar bill. And while she's saying that, she's holding like a carb in her hand. She's holding what looks like a Twinkie or something. She's like, girl, I'm as single as a dollar bill. It's like, oh no. Please, can we just get that picture somewhere?
Insta.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry for the interruption.
No. So they had like a dinner somewhere, and then Geneva and Micah actually managed to apologize and hear each other out, and it was surprising. It was like a successful move, step forward after
it was
like
it was like a cold apology hug, but it worked.
Yeah, it was like after like a season of neither of them like willing to talk and get through. But you know, I was happy with that because it was so ridiculous that neither side could like come to like the easiest resolution of all. Like all that had to happen is Micah say, I was out of control, I'm sorry. And then Geneva, all she had to say is, I'm sorry, I judged too quickly. If I had known, I never would have said that, and I'm super sorry.
And you know the editors love Micah because they didn't insert scenes when she said, well, you know, in the past year, we've seen you out of control a couple times. And Micah's like, oh, bullshit. Name one.
Yeah, normally they would show like her opening her legs at Geneva's work
the
event.
Book signing when you showed your twat to the entire room, wasted.
Yeah.
There was like 3 other times, I think, that year.
Yeah.
That she did that. She's like, what? No. No way. I also like the scene of Micah when she's with her mom.
Yeah.
And she's getting advice from her mom. She's like, Lord, I love my mother, but every piece of advice is from the Bible. I just want some advice that's not from the Bible. Like, honey, you know, Eve had problems with her man, too.
Yeah.
And then she just gave him an apple to eat, and then they had to put on fig leaves, and the cheating immediately stopped.
Yeah.
Mom!
That was, I know. Micah is just hilarious. I mean, she's absolutely hilarious. I mean, there's nothing we can really say because you just watch her, and she spent, like, half this season so far, like, making a comment and, like, hiding into a little hood that she's wearing in the interviews. She'd be like, wow. And she just lowers her hood. And you're, like, cracking up.
Oh, I like that she's also the only one with a chaise lounge.
Yes.
As her interview chair.
Yeah.
Let's see. Melissa shows up to some fake meeting with some fake person with her $5 glasses that I own that I bought in Venice.
It was the director of her play. And he's like, well, next step is that we have to go on tour. She's like, but who's going to play the character? That's me, and I've got to do my real estate. I'm like, come on, Melissa. If you have a chance...
Well, Mel Carter is dead.
Yeah, if you have a chance to, like, do, like, once again get on stage and complain about being a video vixen, you will do it over real estate any second.
Yeah, she's like, I'm so hot. I get no respect. I'm so hot. It's so hard being so hot. If you wanted to respect, go to college and get a fucking degree in something. What are you dancing around like a hoe for and expecting respect? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also I want to say just on a shallow level, because normally I'm very highbrow.
Yeah.
But what's she doing with her eyebrows? They're like so far down on her face. It's like she's getting a brow... like the opposite of a brow lift. Like she's having them pulled down. They're weird Joan Crawford things. I don't like them. Stop it.
I'll have to look next time.
All right. Just if anybody here knows her, just tell her, stop it. Stop.
Yeah.
Other way. You're going the wrong way, darling.
So then let's see. So Daisy had a segment and she was like tired and out of it, et cetera, et cetera. So then they, ultimately, so, Chantal, decided to, she like hired a wealthy matchmaker, a high-end matchmaker.
Some idiot. Where'd they find that person?
I know. And they got all the women together and this one lady, this white chick, she starts asking them all these questions like, so who are you dating? Who are you seeing? How do you feel? What are your things about relationships? And she's just sort of being like really obnoxious and humorless. And I was happy because we got to see us. Oh, wait, there was an issue with Melissa. Oh, yeah. Melissa was like, well, I've been hanging around with this guy, but she's like, but I haven't been giving up the booty. And then the British woman was like, well, if you just haven't been giving up the booty, then you're just friends. I mean, you can't say that just hanging out, but then you're not giving up the goodies. You're not giving up the goodies. And Melissa got so mad because the British woman was right. Right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not having sex, well, I mean, I guess you can date without having sex.
Yeah, but like Melissa was Melissa was saying they weren't dating.
That's
Melissa,
the most fun.
Melissa said, she was like, oh, you know, I'm just having fun, but I'm not giving up the goodies. Well, then what are you doing? You know?
Yeah, Melissa's outrage was a bit much. I think she's just looking for something this season because she showed up a little different this year. She's like ready to rumble this year. She's like, who the fuck is she to tell me giving up my goodies to some? It's like, what are you even talking about? Stop. This is a non-fight. This is not Melbourne.
Yeah, you should just been like, yeah, I'm having my fun.
I love that it's like, it's the opposite of slut shaming now. Yeah. Like now if you're not a slut, they're shaming you. It's like slut not shaming.
Meanwhile, there's like an overhead slider relief delivery coming in. Crates of sliders being dropped on the neighborhood with little parachutes.
They forgot the side of mustard, darling.
Chef Benny, quickly make some sliders and send them out to Hollywood.
Don't do it yourself, darling. You'll be leaving your station. All right, stay in your station and have my son do it. Oh, God, his car's out of gas again. All right, just... have one of the busboys bike it over, darling.
We didn't even talk about that article that we posted on the Facebook page last week with the guy from Thrillist went to
that was
pump.
Funny. Okay, we'll bring it up in the Beverly Hills.
Yeah, we'll do it on Thursday's episode. So anyway,
we're almost done with this day.
Yeah, So at this matchmaking thing, at one point the matchmaker they're like, "Well, are you dating anyone? Are you married?" She's like, "Hell no, I would never do that." So then, like, Daisy and Demetrius sort of shared a look, and then they were like, Demetrius was like, oh, girl, let's hug. Like, you know, we don't see eye to eye, so we better hug. We gotta hug. Da, 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 da. I was like, shut up, Demetria.
That was weird. It's like, you get one drink in that woman, and she's suddenly gonna be nice. Like, that's how low she is on dopamine. You give her one glass of wine, and she's hugging it out with someone. You know what really bugs me, too? And I'm going out of the party again, but we'll end up back here. Don't worry. When she went to lunch, Demetria and Geneva went to lunch and they're sitting there talking. First of all, it's like boring, chubby girls hanging out together, being mean about other people, like story of my life. But it was obnoxious seeing it. And their only thing is talking about how drunk Micah gets. Like, who cares? Okay. It's not like I don't know. I feel like it's not a Kim Richards situation, for Christ's sake, where she's just lying about it and causing all this shit. So what? So what? She gets drunk. Like, is your life that sad that you have to look down on somebody going out and having a good time? Yeah. Demetria, she's so boring. It's like anybody without a stick up their ass. She's like, ugh, I don't do that. What do you do exactly ever? Do you have any fun ever?
Yeah, I agree. No, Demetria needs to lighten up.
Yeah, she needs some dick.
So we also got a little bit of more time with Arzo, and I like Arzo.
Actually, she doesn't need dick. She's got dick. That's a sexist thing to say. She needs some wine. She needs to get drunk every once in a while. Yeah. Okay, I'll shut up now.
No, as you say, we got to spend a little bit more time with Arzo, and I like Arzo because she makes all sorts of weird faces in the background, and she doesn't realize the cameras are on. So, like, if you ever look...
I like Arzo because she's kept her Middle Eastern face and not Botox yet, and it's so crazy seeing, like, four lines on someone's head that I almost fall over. I love it.
I know. She's like, well, I've got a black boyfriend, so...
Yeah, I'm a street cred.
She has a cute black boyfriend.
He's cute.
Young. Yeah. But I like that, like, the camera, if you ever look, she's always on the corner of the screen with, like, this... some demented look on her face. She's always like,
furrowed brow.
But Arzo, so far I'm pro Arzo, even though she is probably crazy and will do some awful things very soon.
Yeah, I don't think she's done much yet, but she's ready to rumble because you can see her looking for something.
She's
getting
there. She's getting right now. Chantal is trying to like make her mark by doing these annoying things, but Arzo is just wait. I think we Arzo's going to be in the middle of some stuff. She's probably going to say some... she'll probably say something racist when she thinks that she has the ability. She probably thinks that she has the pass to say it since she has a black boyfriend, and she probably doesn't.
That's a good psychic call. Let's see if that comes through this year. Yeah, that would be funny.
I think she'll say that. I think that's what she's going to do.
I like when Melissa was like, oh, I need older men. So anybody like 50 and up is fine by me. And then someone goes, 50? He better have a yacht.
Oh, I love this show.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think
talking to Geneva about issues she doesn't want to discuss is like giving birth to a calf. Oh, and I put.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's very difficult.
Awkward comparison there.
So on that note, on that City Slickers-esque note, why don't we wrap it up? So
yeah, not a lot happened on Blood, Sweat, and Heels, but we saw previews for couple of episodes, and it's going to get crazy.
Yeah, we're just warming up. So, all right, well, this has been a long but fun episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Go to watchforcrappins.com to find our social media. You can support us, patreon.com/watchforcrappins, and on Facebook. All that fun stuff. Facebook.com/watchwhatcrappins. What a surprise. So, thanks everyone. Thanks, Ronnie.
And yeah, thank you. And don't forget our Google Hangout is a week from Thursday, everybody.
Yeah. So everyone,
I will have my brain a little bit more together for the next podcast. I'm a total idiot today.
That's okay. That's the best. That's the best way out of a podcast. So everyone, we will speak to you all on Thursday for our next episode. Talk about Beverly Hills, New York, Shaz, and Southern Charm. Get excited!
Yep. All right, I'm in. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.